I'll call the remote hearing of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division to order. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, 2020. This meeting is held in accordance with Rule 10.01, which was passed and allows for remote hearings. All remote hearings are recorded and live streamed by the House Public Information Office. My name is State Representative Rick Hansen, and I have the privilege of chairing the House Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division. Members, just a few reminders on guidelines. It's been a while since we've done one of these. All committee discussions should continue to go through the chair. If you want to be recognized, please use the raise your hand button. For members on the phone, please use the *9, and that should activate a raise your hand symbol. If you are not getting called on, please send an email to Committee Administrator Peter Strohmeyer from your House account. And I imagine it'll take us a little bit to get back in the groove on these. Please mute yourselves so we can reduce any background noise. All voting will be done by roll call taken by the committee legislative assistant. Please try to limit the noise in your workspace during roll calls. Members are expected to unmute themselves when voting and when called on by the chair. The CA and the CLA may mute members if their mute is left on and off and there is background noise. I want to note that we do have agency staff that are waiting in the Zoom room if there were questions. And with that, the clerk, Mr. Strohmeyer, Representative Fabian is having trouble coming on. It says that the password is invalid. If you could help Representative Fabian. If we can maybe take a few moments and then Clay, if you could take the roll maybe in about 30 seconds.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Here.
Representative Claflin. Representative Fabian. Representative Backer.
Here.
Representative Becker Finn.
Here.
Representative Eklund.
Here.
Representative Fisher.
Here.
Representative Green. Representative Heintzman.
Here.
Representative Lee.
Present.
Representative Lewick.
Here.
Representative Morrison.
Present.
Representative Nelson. Representative Purcell.
Nelson is here.
Nelson is present. Representative Purcell. Representative Sandell.
Here.
Representative Sundin.
Here.
Representative Tice. I believe I saw her in the participants. Representative Tice.
Clay, why don't you go through the roll again? I know that we're attempting to get Representative Fabian hooked up.
Sure. And then Representative Wagenius.
Here.
All right. Representative Claflin.
Here.
Representative Fabian. Representative Green. Representative Purcell. Representative Tice. Well, we do have a quorum, Mr. Chair, and I can mark people present as they join.
Thank you. A quorum is present. And as I mentioned, members, it's going to take us a little bit. Hold on. I'm texting with Representative Fabian. Members, there are no minutes to approve. With a quorum being present, I will move that House File 28 of the special session be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Members, this is the Environment and Natural Resources Supplemental LCCMR and Policy Bill. This is the same bill that passed off the House floor, House File 4554, during the last day of the regular 2020 session. The exception of some changes that the MPCA worked on with the National Waste and Recycling Association. Ms. Gauthier and Mr. Kadelka are available from the PCA to answer questions. And maybe to give just a little bit of time, I want to make sure that Representative Fabian is given the opportunity as the lead. Mr. Strohmeyer, if you could let Ms. Gauthier in to just explain the change that was made between the end of regular session and this special session. Or Ms. Taylor, if she would like to do it.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Gauthier and Mr. Kadelka are in the room already.
Mr. Strohmeyer, could you repeat?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Gauthier and Mr. Kadelka are in the room already.
Okay. So Ms. Gauthier or Mr. Kadelka, if either of you'd like to explain the difference.
Mr. Chairman, this is Greta Gauthier from the MPCA. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this language. I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Kirk Kadelka, because he negotiated these compromise language and worked on this project. And I believe he is in the Zoom room as well.
Commissioner Kadelka.
Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you. For the record, my name is Kirk Kadelka. I'm Assistant Commissioner with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. There were a couple changes. The one that the chair mentioned was with the National Waste and Recycling Association that regarded the environmental covenants language. We tightened up the language to make it very clear that the ability for the agency to acquire property is only limited to if it enters into an environmental covenant with another party and any easements that may be needed for the covenant. It also has language there that explicitly states that for environmental covenant to be entered into, all parties in the agreement have to sign on to it. So the agency could not force an environmental covenant onto another party. And so with these changes, working with NWRA, they were able to remove their opposition to it. We've also run the language by AMC and the Solid Waste Administrators, and they are also do not have a problem with the compromise language. The other quick change that was made that deals with the priority qualified facility and the closed landfill program. There were two very small changes made after talking to the State Bar Administration and also the Minnesota Land Trust Association. And what they do is clear up some of the issues dealing with on how liens will be placed on properties when that legislation is put into place to make sure that it's clear and understandable to future owners so that they know what regulations apply to them and what do not. And also removing the language in there that would not have the 30 and 40 year cap on lien supply. And so that was removed also as a result of those conversations.
Okay. Members, are there any questions for Mr. Kadelka? Thank you, Mr. Kadelka. Members, are there any questions? Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to ask, is there any options here? I think Dan is just getting on. If we could make sure that he has an opportunity to address the committee, that would be great if he would like to do so.
Thank you, Representative Heinzman, and he just texted me. So, Representative Fabian, and maybe I think we had a couple of other members. Clay, could you just go through the roll again so that we're formal?
Yep, I'm seeing some new names in the participant room. Representative Fabian.
Fabian is present.
Fabian is present. Representative Green.
Star six, Steve.
I can come back to Representative Green. Representative Purcell.
Present. Purcell.
Yep, Purcell is present. Then Representative Green.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Strohmeyer.
I got a text from Ms. Zipko that Representative Green may not be attending. So just want to let you know that.
Good to know. And then, Mr. Chair, I believe Representative Morris and you are present, correct?
I am present.
Okay. That was the only ones we were missing, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Fabian, so we had just moved House File, Special Session House File 28, and the Pollution Control Agency had given testimony on the change that had occurred from the bill that had passed at the end of the regular session. Do you have any questions, Representative Fabian?
No, I don't think so. The bill is largely the same as what we did before, correct? As I'm going through it here, nothing has changed except for what MPCA has done.
That is correct.
Yep. And then have you done the A1 amendment?
I have not done the A1 amendment. We were still in the explanation. And my intent would be to get these two bills that we're considering today to the Ways and Means Committee to make options. As negotiations would continue in the days ahead. Are there any other questions to the bill? Members, I would move the A1 amendment. This amendment provides $6 million in supplemental funding to the Minnesota Zoo. During the regular session, there was a supplemental budget proposal from the Walz Flanagan administration to provide support for the zoo. This amendment is the formal effort to do that. Is there any discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, Dan Fabian here.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as I read the amendment, the $6 million comes from the general fund. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And this is a proposal brought forth by the administration, correct?
Representative Fabian, that is correct.
And then my final question, are there any offsets anyplace else that they brought forward, to cover the $6 million. Oops, what happened?
Representative Fabian, no.
Okay. Well, you know, I like the zoo and the work that they're doing out there, but I'd like to see some explanations about some offsets. You and I have talked about this on the phone a couple of different times. Obviously, I'm not going to be in the legislature next year, but it would just seem to me that it would be prudent on the part of this current legislature to start making some adjustments to the budget to try to make it a little bit easier for people to tackle, which is, I believe, is going to be a really big problem next year. But that can is getting kicked down the road, and I'm concerned about the scale of the reductions that may have to be brought forward for you folks next year. So I'll just kind of leave it at that as an editorial unless somebody else wants to chime in. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Fabian. And I just want you to know, and members of the committee, I've had conversations with the staff, with Congresswoman Angie Craig, to see if there was any attempt at federal dollars that could assist with this. It seems that there are some strong limits on any of the federal money, both current and potentially future, but there are still efforts trying. So there's trying to find some ways to make sure that the Minnesota Zoo, which is a state agency, is supported. Obviously, when you're reliant on attendance and membership, and those don't occur, just like with many businesses, we have a challenge. And so I think Minnesotans value the zoo, and it's a state agency where we want to try to provide for that support. Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have any idea what the hard numbers are at the zoo? Is there anyone that can walk us through the financials to some extent, at least have an idea? Is this scalable? What happens if they don't get exactly $6 million? What are the ramifications of this? And I'm not seeing any of that here. It might be in an email that I missed, but is the, any of that kind of information available? And if it is scalable, what is the bottom line?
Representative Heintzman, and I don't believe we have anybody from the Zoom, Mr. Strohmeyer, on the Zoom room, but the Minnesota Zoo has provided a plan where they're trying to do distance attendance, where people can drive through the zoo, trying to make sure that it's safe and sound. It's my understanding that $6 million is the minimal request to keep things operating. They've already laid off a number of employees. This is not to go back to status quo request. This is a minimum request to continue through the fiscal year to make sure that the zoo continues to operate. The animals have a cost, and that takes time. The energy, the operations are all there. I don't know if Mr. Hagermeyer has received anything recently on that, but we do have a memo, I believe, from the zoo that we can send out that came near the end of session, which I might have been on one of the earlier documents. Either Mr. Strohmeyer or Mr. Hagemeyer.
Mr. Chair, I haven't seen anything recently from them. I believe I saw something come out maybe the end of March, beginning of April, where the projected deficit through the end of fiscal 20 was about $6.2 or $3 million. So that was the lost revenue for the current fiscal year, not including fiscal year 21, but I haven't seen anything since then.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we all understand and appreciate, I should say understand the value and appreciate the Minnesota Zoo. I think what we're struggling with is not having the opportunity to really better understand the financial situation. I appreciate your suggesting that this is the bare minimum, but respectfully, it's just difficult to be voting on this without even hearing from the zoo or having hard numbers for us to look at as we would in a typical situation. It's very uncomfortable spending that kind of money when right now we're looking down the road, and as Representative Fabian was pointing out, we're likely getting going to be cutting state agencies significantly in the coming biennium, considering the projected shortfalls. So it's just a very, very awkward situation to be put in as a member of this committee.
Mr. Heisman, I believe Ms. McGrath is in the room, so if she would be able to testify and provide some details, that would be helpful. Ms. McGrath from the Minnesota Zoo. Ms. McGrath.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, proceed.
Okay. Hi, my name is Missy McGrath, Legislative Director at the Minnesota Zoo. I thank you for the opportunity today. We were testifying in another committee, so I'm sorry it was a little clumsy for me to get over to you all today. And was there a specific question, or are we just talking about the request for the appropriation?
Representative Heisman, would you want to repeat your question for Ms. McGrath?
I will do that, Mr. Chair, and also try to condense it to the best of my ability. Ms. McGrath, what I'm struggling with, and I know there's other members that are struggling also, is trying to establish if this number is scalable, if this is absolutely the best or worst case scenario. It's hard to see that without any financials in front of us, without any information there for us to look at and walk through directly. And then additionally, we know that we're going to be cutting, at least that's the predictions according to MMB, because of shortfalls in our Minnesota budget. We're going to be cutting other agencies. So this is just a real difficult thing to have to vote on right now. And this is coming directly from general fund, which we know is just to put it very nicely, in a real tough shape going forward. So if you could explain, I guess, number one, is this absolutely the amount that has to be supported in order for the zoo to stay solvent, or if that's scalable, and then what is the plan beyond 2020?
Yes, thank you, Representative, Mr. Chair. So we did substantial modeling with MMB and went into numbers that talked about salaries and animal care, and we believe that with the revenue loss as we temporarily close the zoo on March 14th, going into our peak season, as you can imagine, we were facing a revenue shortfall of about $6.33 million in the current fiscal year. And then when you take into consideration the social distancing and the reduced revenue based on attendance, that is the reality of the COVID pandemic, our revenue projections for total are about $19 million. So we believe that this is probably the least amount the zoo can receive and still remain a Minnesota treasure for Minnesotans. I will tell you that we did what we could do on our own. We froze all expenditures. We canceled all contracts. We laid off 58 staff, and we also reduced hours for about 125. So 125 positions were impacted. So we are trying not to put the total amount back on the state, but the $6 million is really what we need to be able to reopen and serve Minnesota.
Representative Heisman, did that answer your question?
The second half was, do we have projections or any idea what we might be looking at? I know that's quite a ways away, but are we going to be right back in the same spot January 1st?
And yes, thank you. Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Chair. Our CFO is actually testifying on the other committee, so I wish she was here. I would feel more comfortable if she was able to provide the committee with some projections, because she's done substantial work on that. And what I will tell you is that we've rolled up our sleeves. We're working with different ways to regenerate revenue and to work with our foundation on kind of a Save the Zoo campaign So while I can't make any promises about what the future holds, we want to be a partner with the state of Minnesota and prevent us from another major revenue shortfall. But in terms of specific numbers, with your permission, I would like to offer to provide that to the committee after we get those numbers from her.
Representative Heisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Here again, and I'm not trying to belabor this, Mr. Chair. It just, as I've stated, and I won't restate, this is difficult making this kind of a choice without those numbers right in front of us, and I'm not sure that we should be making any kind of a decision without that information.
Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to make clear for the record as we're debating this that the Minnesota Zoo is a state agency, so I can't emphasize this enough. They don't have a lot of options that other types of businesses, organizations might have to make up this shortfall that obviously is due to the pandemic. It has nothing to do with a fault on the part of the zoo. And also wanted to speak to the fact that when we think of a zoo, we think of visiting the zoo and seeing the animals in their environments, but the zoo also does some really important research that years in the making that potentially would be disrupted. And it's hard to imagine that we would ever be able to rebuild what we have right now if we lose the zoo. So I just wanted to emphasize those things because I think supporting the zoo during this time and making sure that those long-term consequences are avoided would be in our best interest given the situation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got two questions. I guess, first of all, when does the zoo feel that they really need to be open in order to gain some reasonable revenue? Do you have a timeline that marks out for the governor so he understands exactly what the current restrictions you're abiding by are costing? And how far does it go? Are you talking about next fall, next winter?
Ms. McGrath.
Yes, thank you, Representative and Mr. Chair. We are actually really excited to announce more publicly, you'll be hearing soon, that the Minnesota Zoo will be opening a drive-through experience as early as next week. And we are working to open a physically distanced zoo in late July, early August, and then to keep building there in phases based on what the pandemic situation allows us to do in conjunction with, obviously, MMB and the governor's office. We are really looking forward to opening the zoo and getting back into a position where we can generate revenue and serve Minnesotans. So, yes, we have a model that we're looking at reopening the zoo very soon.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the right answer, and I guess we've already had much smaller venues out in rural Minnesota that provide similar opportunity for folks to see animals, and they literally beat down the door of the Department of Commerce to get permission to do some pretty basic things, and they are, in fact, just opening up now. So that's good news. So you're still saying that in the very near future, if you start to be able to open the gates up, we're still going to need $6 million to break even?
Ms. McGrath.
Yes, Representative and Committee Chair, thank you. Yes, unfortunately, the revenue shortfall that we realized when we temporarily closed on March 14th through the end of the fiscal year is substantial. We only have a $29 million operating budget. We're unable to produce revenue right now, and we do two-thirds of our own revenue. Only one-third of our operating support comes from the state of Minnesota. So without our doors being open, it has been a major revenue shortfall on our budget. And as I said, we anticipate even further shortfall next year, but we think with our $10 million appropriation, assuming that stays whole, and the revenue that we're able to produce and the fundraising efforts that our foundation will embark upon as in a kind of a Save the Zoo campaign, we're very optimistic that we will be able to continue to keep our doors open and serve Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that, although I share that same concern to me, the most important thing that we can do at the zoo is to get that place open in a reasonable manner, because I'm afraid come next budget cycle, we're going to be looking at that portion that the zoo gets under normal situation as to whether or not that can be supported and be a trade-off between a whole bunch of other issues. So I share some real discomfort at this point. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That does shed a little more light on the things.
Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and this is a question for Ms. McGrath. I want to say thank you for the presentation you made. One of the questions, or the question I have is when you're mentioning for next year is that that you'll still be under some pressure next year. Trying to get an idea how much that might be. I've talked to some businesses who have opened up fully, and what they're finding is that their revenue is like half of what they had before, and they're figuring it'll be 6 to 8 months before they're back to normal people coming in, even though they're open up fully because of people who are concerned about the virus. How long do you think it will be for the zoo before you might be seeing people feeling confident to come back and be up at what used to be a normal level?
Representative, Mr. Chair, thank you. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. We have the benefit of the AZA, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, who is comprised of 223 zoological gardens, zoos, aquariums, and they're accredited, and they do a lot of research together, and they post a lot of white papers together. And so we have the benefit of kind of watching the model throughout our industry, some zoos that are already open, some zoos that are partially open. And we're really basing our projections on a 50% model. But at the same time, you know, really looking to be entrepreneurial and add things to our zoo that can increase our revenue outside of the traditional zoo experience. So, like, what does our jack-o'-lantern spectacular event look like in a socially distanced world where we can still do something and have that revenue? Maybe there's a holiday opportunity where we can charge additional revenue for people to visit the zoo in a socially distanced way, in, you know, that celebrates the holidays, something we haven't done before. So, you know, I think the reality that you're speaking of is true. I think it's a real thing. But I think we've done substantial, and that's one of the reasons we needed to reduce our salary expenses, right? Our salary expenses mm-hmm. are a huge part of the operating. And so we recognized that and we took that action. And so I think, you know, I want to be realistic, but I think we're in a good position with our modeling to move forward and, you know, be able to keep going once we get past kind of this emergency time, this crisis time for us.
Thank you.
I would note there is precedent for providing support for the zoo several years ago with low attendance. We did provide some emergency funding. So when we look at the past as an example or a precedent, we do have that. So I would renew my amendment A1 and ask for the roll call, Clay.
Hansen.
Aye.
Claflin.
Aye.
That was aye.
Claflin, aye.
Claflin, aye. Fabian. Fabian. Backer.
Okay.
Oh. Fabian?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got kicked out of the meeting for a minute. So, Ms. McGrath, while we were talking, I just did a little Google search and so forth. I'm curious to know, you mentioned the AZA. How many zoos around the country are open and going full speed? Because I looked in, even in California, in 51 out of the 58 counties, the state has opened up, and zoos are mentioned specifically in article that's in the Sacramento Bee. What's the status of our closure in Minnesota versus the other states that the AZA is in?
So, yes, thank you, Representative Committee Chair.
Both of you for a moment. So we were in the middle of a vote. Representative Fabian, we're voting.
I'm sorry.
But I do take you at your word that you were unable to be in that last minute. So I am going to give you a little leeway to ask the question, but this would be the
final. No, that's fine. Yeah. So I'm okay, Mr. Chair. That's fine. I'm voting no on the amendment. Okay.
Okay. So we'll continue with.
I love the Zoom. Yep. Thank you. Sorry about that. Yep.
Thanks, proceed.
Fabian votes nay. Backer.
Backer, no.
Backer, no. Becker Finn. Becker Finn. Eklund.
Yes.
Fisher.
Yes.
Green.
No.
Heintzman.
No.
Lee.
Lee-I.
Lee-I. Lewick.
Lewick, no.
Lewick, no. Morrison.
Yes.
Nelson.
No.
Purcell. Purcell.
Purcell, aye.
Purcell, aye. Sandell.
Sandell, aye.
Sandell, aye. Sundin.
Aye.
Sundin, aye. Tice.
Tice, no.
Tice, no. Wagenius.
Aye.
Aye. And I believe Rep. Becker Finn had to go to another committee.
She is presenting in another committee, so she'd be excused from the vote.
Okay. 10 ayes, 7 nays.
The A1 amendment is adopted. We would proceed to the bill as amended. Is there any discussion to the bill as amended? I will renew my motion that House File 28 as amended be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Oh, Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to again register my concern about the survey requirements on tagging what we've been putting statute here is one unworkable and relative to GPS tagging of these animals. And it just doesn't make sense to put stuff in the statute that is simply not able to do with today's technology, at least not without extreme, extreme cost. I just want to put that on the record, and particularly the other element, that is to sort of set up a potential vigilante situation with deer that would escape. We certainly don't want deer to escape. We got to immediately get them back under control, but I'm very uncomfortable that some of these provisions is going to end up getting us some trouble down the road with that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lewick. And I should note for members and the public on the committee webpage, there are written testimony from a variety of sort of interests on this topic, as well as other topics, as well as the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency providing some details on bills as well. Are there any other questions? I want to make sure we're giving people the opportunity. I would renew my motion that House File 28 as amended be recommended to the Ways and Means Committee. Clay, would you take the call? Take the roll.
Hanson.
Aye.
Claflin.
Aye.
Fabian.
No.
Backer.
No.
Becker, Rep. Becker Finn's still in the other committee. Eklund.
Aye.
Fisher.
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Fisher, aye. Green.
No.
Heintzman.
Heintzman, no.
Heintzman, no. Lee.
Lee, aye.
Lee, aye. Lewick.
Lewick, no.
Morrison.
Aye.
Nelson.
No.
Purcell. Purcell.
Aye.
Purcell, aye. Sandell.
Aye.
Sundin.
Aye.
Sundin, aye. Sundin, aye. Tice. Tice. Looks like she has her hand raised and keeps getting muted.
Tice, no.
Tice, no. Genius. Wagenius. Did we lose Representative Wagenius?
I do not see her on the call anymore.
Okay. The current total is 10 ayes and 7 nays.
The motion prevails. The bill is adopted. Sent to Ways and Means Committee. I will move House File 134. Be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Members, this bill is included in the bill we just passed, but it is solely the agreement between the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, the Dry Cleaners Association, the House, and the Senate. This is work that was done at the end of regular session, but this is a component that we agree on. There are still, as I think most members know, disagreements on a number of items, but this solo component is something we're looking at as a potential vehicle as well. Are there any questions for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency or anyone else? Senator Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe I just saw an email today with a notification that MPCA was going to move forward with raising dry cleaner rates for, I don't know, it was next calendar year. If this bill goes through as is, will that stop that process? I believe there was an indication that if nothing was done, then the rate process, increasing the rate would go forward. I guess that question for MPCA.
Mr. Kadelka.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. Representative Lewick is correct. This is the time of year where we would make any adjustments and send that into the Department of Revenue. As part of the agreement that we, Representative Hansen talked about, we've agreed that we would put on hold that, and that's what we're looking for, some direction to see whether or not this agreement would be enacted this week or if we should move forward with the process otherwise. So a short answer is yes, we would, with the passage of this and the larger agreement, would put that on hold for this year. Without it, we would move forward with, as outlined in statute, the need to make those adjustments.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess, would it be fair, and either for Mr. Kadalka or even the chair, that if we don't do this, then the rate increase in rates is not necessarily going to fix this. We'll just be digging a deeper hole.
Representative Lewick, if we do not pass this, then the fees will be going up. Obviously, with COVID, we have a number of dry cleaners that are still shut down. And as people are doing more Zoom meetings rather than going into the office, they're not dressing up as much. So the use of dry cleaners during this crisis is also, the demand is down. So I'm hopeful that we could get an agreement, which is a comprehensive agreement in this bill, that would be helping provide cost share to those dry cleaners that would be transitioning out of PERC, banning PERC, in the somewhat near future, and then having, as part of the agreement, the fees would not go up, and that we would be trying to clean up some of those old sites. So, as you know, Representative Lewick, we've been dealing with dry cleaners for many years. I'm hopeful that we could pass this agreement, which people have agreed on. It's just tied up with everything else. I don't know if Mr. Kadalka would want to add to that.
Mr. Chair and committee members, the only part I'd add is we will continue to also this summer to meet with legislators, interested legislators, and the Dry Cleaner Association to find out the long-term issues and solutions to them. As the chair has mentioned, we will continue to do more work on the long-term fix.
Representative Lewick, if you'd like to co-author the bill, you can add on. It would be a great bipartisan opportunity.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chair. I guess I probably would sign on with one condition, that we immediately open all the dry cleaners tomorrow for 100% business, and we immediately go back to regular order here in the Capitol, because I'm sitting here in a short sleeve shirt with no tie on, and my jacket's hanging over in the corner, and it certainly should be ran through the dry cleaners here sooner or later. So, but I respectfully decline the offer, Mr. Chair. But yes, we need to resolve this. Thank you.
Members, are there any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to reemphasize that the $400,000 is coming from the Environmental Fund. It's not from the General Fund. So I support the bill. I feel I'm going to vote for it, obviously. We voted for it in the past. But Representative Luke makes a good point. We got to get Minnesota opened up again. This is really troubling. So we'll take it from there. Thank you.
Members, I'm hopeful that if nothing else happens, we at least would be able to move this. If other things are able to happen in the next few days, it's a lot easier to add to a bill than to take from. So we're providing a couple of options here as negotiations continue. Are there any other questions? If not, I would renew my motion that House File 134 be recommended to go to the Ways and Means Committee. Mr. Schwarzwalter, would you please take the roll?
Gladly. Hansen.
Aye.
Claflin.
Aye.
Fabian.
Aye.
Becker.
Aye.
Becker Finn. Eckland.
Aye.
Fisher.
Aye.
Green.
No.
Heintzman.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Lewick.
Aye.
Morrison.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Purcell.
Aye.
Sandell.
Aye.
Sundin. Sundin.
Sundin, aye.
Sundin, aye. Tice.
Aye.
Wagenius.
Aye.
Becker Finn. Current count is 16 ayes and 1 nay.
Sounds like the motion prevails. And it's on its way to Ways and Means. The motion passes. Is there any other comments, discussion, or questions? Members, I do not know if this is our last meeting. It might be, but Representative Fabian, the last time I said we were having a last meeting, we didn't. It wasn't our last meeting. So I want to thank you all for your patience and participation, and I think this might be the last meeting, at least in June, but I'm not sure. So stay tuned. Thank you for your work. And with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, Representative Fabian.
No, I just said thank you, Mr. Chair, and everyone. Yep.
Meeting is adjourned.